good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and I guess my taxpayer name is Robert Pilot, too. Hey, we discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events, and as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Well, a lot going on in the news. I know Ogama is in ceremony with her family, and we asked Nancy Bolio to mix it up a little, and she's going to sit in for Ogama, but she has a week's worth of news, what's happening up in line three. And we want to welcome Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, and Rise Coalition, and my old Rock the Vote Native style co-host. Welcome, Nancy Bolio.
Oh, bonjour. It's great to be here. And yeah, I wasn't able to be on air last week because we had so much going on. And I just want to give a big chi miigwech to all of our non-Native allies and our relatives from far and wide that came to our treaty people gathering in Waubun, Minnesota, and that was June 5th through the 8th. And so what we did is we called on our allies and our relatives to come to a peaceful treaty gathering, and it was 3 days of teachings and trainings and just hanging out down at the river and just getting to know each other and building on healthy treaty relationships with our non-Native treaty partners. And so we decided that we needed to make a presence, or, you know, at the same time, we got to, you know, do more than just acknowledge those treaties. We need to exercise or, you know, assert our treaty rights. And so what we did is we went into a beautiful, beautiful prayer on Monday morning after we had left the Waubun camp area, our treaty people gathering. So we met at the LaSalle State Park for interfaith prayer for the water and for strength and healing. And from there was a rally down to the bridge, which is, you know, almost 2 miles away from the state park. And Robert, there must have been like 1,000 people there, and it was so powerful and beautiful. And Jane Fonda showed up, the chairman, our beautiful sisters, and our Ogeechee Daw, and just all kinds of beautiful faces in the crowd. And I just couldn't be more happy to see that people do care about our treaties and our Native people here and want to see change. So it was a good day, I must say.
Yeah, there was reported over 2,000 people there, and I think that was more accurate than 1,000. It was amazing. It was it made me feel a remembrance of Standing Rock and the singing where they came in walking in slow, arm to arm. I mean, I was it was a very emotional and healing moment for me.
Right. And, you know, and I think even as, you know, we exited in on our terms yesterday, I'll talk a little bit more about that after here, but we all left in good spirits and we felt, you know, that peace, what, you know, that part of the treaties where we live in peace. And so it was just a good experience. And back to 2000 at camp, at, you know, 3 day treaty gathering, we had over 2,000. And I think between some of the more direct action, half went that way. We were a prayer action kind of, you know, still all action is good action. But, yeah, I think we got split up into about two groups. And you know, both sides are really powerful, and I think it was just a beautiful day of resistance, and we've seen the militarized police move in and you know, brutalize people for exercising our treaty rights to protect the water, and sometimes you got to hold back those ugly machines and stop them from moving. And then we went to the river and we prayed for the water, and our position was not, you know, a line three protest camp. And I want to be clear, you know, because some people didn't want to come out. They felt they were, you know, committing a crime by being on that Enbridge easement, like where we were. And, you know, to exercise our treaty rights is not a crime. And that was part of, you know, why we felt that we had to stay there after we were done praying, is because we know we have to assert those treaty rights. Otherwise, we don't exercise them. And then, you know, people don't think they're important, or they think that they're just for Native people. So it was part of teaching people what treaties are, how we have a shared history with those non-Native people, and that we both, especially if we extend an invite to our non-Native people to help protect that water, they're protected under those treaties, just in a little bit different way than we are. But it was totally beautiful. I'm going to say, you know, I was so busy, Robert, and everything was going so fast, but I want to say a good couple hundred of us walked in a single file out to the easement and held space, and it was nice to see even Bill McGibbon from 350.org out there with us. Yes. So, yeah, I just couldn't ask for something, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but there was just... Yeah. I'm still in awe, Robert, of the beautiful love and peace. And even the neighbor who totally opposed us, we've been out there several times, many times actually, out to the bridge. But when we occupied it, the sheriff has said he did a 180. The sheriff honored the treaties. And, you know, he's a fine example of what those other counties were geared up to brutalize us and deny us our treaty, deny us our civil rights, and, you know, put the communities in danger. They're actually swear to protect. You know, it's just Sheriff Halverson of Clearwater County was, you know, honest, and he actually kind of, you know, those peace talks and treaties, you know, we negotiated back and forth. And I think the camp, in a really good way, we control the narrative, and we also made some demands, which we're following up with. And then that I talked to the sheriff today, and I said, you know what, you held back. Well, actually, first and foremost, he maintained his authority over his county while there was hundreds of riot police waiting at two stations close by, ready to move in and deny us our treaty rights and brutalize us. And, you know, that was the power. You know, one of the last victories we had was that the sheriff maintained his authority, and we held back riot police yesterday, and I hope they sweat in their riot gear. And and then, you know,
Nancy, let's take. Can you stay with us for a break? I want to really talk some more about this, because I think it's important for people to hear what the timeline was and all the time that you spent out there and your experience of having a camp, having a ceremony, naming the camp, and all those good things that happened while you were out there before the sheriff came and removed you guys in a good way. But I think the powerful thing that happened, I'd really like our audience to hear about that.
All right.
Awesome. Wow, Wendy, we got Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 on.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you the rest, Nancy. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Thank you.
Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Calusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Wake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wow. Hey, we're here with Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and the co-director, co-founder of Rise Coalition. And we're really excited. I know Nancy has been through the battles here. And can you talk a little bit, Nancy, about the feeling of setting up camp and going through ceremony and naming the camp and just what all you guys experienced and where you exactly were by the bridge on the mighty Mississippi?
Sure. Prior to our occupation, we have been out there, you know, on, many, many, many times praying. And so when we went down on a Monday, we went in to pray for the water, do ceremony at the lake or at the river. And then, we peacefully walked in. And we went out to the easement, about 200 of us, under the, the visionary and direction of our elders and the community. And I listened, and I just wanted to, you know, because I had the opportunity to help create the space. And, you know, many of us already had our boots on the ground, and we just decided that, well, let's take an occupation. And I want to be clear to, you know, people that, you know, yeah, this was a Line 3 easement, but it's more than a pipeline. That it was it's about treaties. And if they honored our treaties, all of it, because, you know, the water flows. But anyways, if they would honor those, we wouldn't see a Line 3 going through without the tribal consent, as we see with Red Lake, White Earth, and we went in through prayer, and we stood our ground because it is our inherent right under, and it's protected by our treaty, and we never surrendered our rights to our property rights to the water, and our treaties say we can protect it. So we made a treaty stand as treaty partners with our non-Native allies and some of our relatives, from other tribes to stand in peace and protect the water. So we invited our relatives and allies to hold that space, and it was 3 days of, those teachings and gathering and relationship building that carried into that moment. And then throughout the occupation, our elders and treaty keepers came back, and so we continued to take that direction, and without that direction and without the support of our allies that were there to help protect the water, you know, we couldn't do this, Robert. And I just want to say chi-mik-witch to everybody that was out there with us, and for those that couldn't even make but that sent prayers and financial support, because, again, you know, Native people can't do this alone. And so we called on our allies to help amplify the messaging that treaties do matter and that we're all treaty people. So we made some beautiful decisions to protect our water, and we occupied for 8 days. And then on the seventh day, we negotiated with the sheriff and the neighbor in a good way, and we showed the rest of the world what it looks like to have peace talks under treaty and how to honor them and how to, you know, be good to your Native neighbor, because we are the one that hold those rights, and we are the ones that give our non-Native settlers those privileges, and it's, you know, it's time to honor those treaties. So we showed the world what it looks like to how to do that. And, you know, my message to Sheriff Beidle here in Beltrami County and any other sheriff department out there that's supporting Enbridge, they are violating our rights and, you know, under many terms, Minnesota statutes, you know, the treaty, our civil rights. I could go on and on. But we were charged with trespassing.
Oh.
On our own land.
Wow.
And there is, you know, a subject matter jurisdiction, and so we made some demands. We also controlled the narrative. When we got that eviction notice on Sunday, there was many falsehoods in Enbridge's memo of eviction, and so I refused to take the eviction. And Sheriff Halverson of Clearwater County says, you know, Ms. Bolio, you're right. You know, we've been out here all week long, and you guys done nothing but a good job, stayed in peace, and you're taking care of the, you know, where you're at out here. And I said, that's who we are. We leave it in a better way than we found it. So there was no violence. We never threatened the construction workers. We were never asked to leave by the Enbridge. And, you know, they accuse us of trespassing when they don't have tribal approval. And the state allows them to circumvent the policies and protections put in place to protect our waters. You know, they're not doing a very good job, and they, too, are dishonoring the treaties. And Governor Wall says that, you know, Executive Order 1924, government to government, this is not how it's done, by shoving a pipeline down our throat. And, you know, again, I want to say a huge chi-mik-witch to Sheriff Halverson and the whole Clearwater County Sheriff's Department for handling this matter in the best way that, you know, we could imagine. And again, Sheriff Halverson maintained his authority through all this, and he let us come out in a good way, and he even allowed, you know, those people that didn't want to be arrested to come out, and then those of us that refused to come out, he actually let us out in a peaceful way, and instead of giving us arrests, he actually just cited us, and we were released. And there was one arrest, Todd Thompson, out of White Earth, and it was a peaceful arrest as well, and he wasn't resistant. He was just felt that his heart compelled him to say, take me to jail, because I'm going to fight this with my heart. And I appreciate Todd Thompson out of White Earth for, you know, stepping up and being Ogeechee Da. And so there were 50 citations and one arrest. And I think, you know, as the powerful stand that we made, especially holding back those riot police just miles away from us now, on Monday they moved in just 2 miles up the road at that LaSalle State Park, and we held them back, Robert, by people power in that peace talks with the sheriff. And I think, you know, the whole world was watching, and I think, you know, I think this sets the precedence of, you know, what those treaties were intended for, was to be in peace.
That's right. Hey, One of the things I want to remind all our allies that are listening to this in the Twin Cities, in Chicago, and Madison is that this is a new pipeline. This isn't a replacement pipeline. This is a pipeline that nobody wants. It's a foreign country. Yes, Canada is a foreign country that's imposing on our treaty rights of 1855 and above to put pipelines through sacred water, Wendy.
And the reason why is because Canada has stricter environmental laws than we do, so we get it because we don't have the laws that Canada does.
And again, we would have never went to Standing Rock, Wendy, and did all those times and brought all those supplies over the years if they would have put the pipeline through Bismarck, their original thing. So again, I feel like Indigenous people all across the world, but especially here in Turtle Island, which is the United States, are on attack. Or they're attacking us again. Mm-hmm. And this hasn't stopped in almost 500 years, Nance.
Right. And, you know, I want to big a chimiekwich to our relatives from Standing Rock that came, stood with us during the treaty people gathering in Waubin, Minnesota. That was, you know, they guided us with much love and experience and knowledge that, you know, again, we appreciate them for coming here to Minnesota and helping us with that. And, you know, I want to say, too, Robert, just last Friday, Enbridge was rubber stamped another water permit. Their initial project that had asked for 5 million gallons of water, and somehow the engineer made a mistake in the design of the project, and now they need 5 billion, that's with the B, billions more water, or gallons more of water. And, you know, they need to go through that the regular water permit process just like they did with their initial permit. And so that was one of our demands, that that be revoked. And so there's so much more that we got to be fighting here on the front line. And, you know, we're in a drought, so how could they be allowed to take 6 or 5 billion gallons of water during a drought here in Minnesota? So we got some real issues with this pipeline, and, you know, just the fact that they lied about us. And I think, you know, just even with the sheriff saying, you know, I agree with you, Ms. Bolio, and I'm not going to evict you, is another small win, you know, holding back the riot police. We don't often see riot police get held back like they did yesterday. I think, you know, that was another win. And I just think the relationship that we showed the world was our hugest win, that we can, you know, not negotiate because we shouldn't have to negotiate underneath treaties, but we can have those peace talks. And that's what they look like. And so I would hope that, you know, we continue to, you know, be showing up. And so we're calling on our relatives from far and wide. You know, again, it's not a crime to insert our treaty rights. It's not a crime to come stand if you're invited as a non-Native ally to come hold this space with us. They might at the moment give us a citation, but in the courts we're going to fight them back. And in the end, we're going to win because treaties do matter. And I want to, you know, I don't know how much time I have left.
10 seconds. 10 seconds.
Okay, Red Lake Treaty Camp, please follow them on Facebook. They do need help. They would like you to message them, inbox them first, and they said that we'll follow up with that, and I just don't want to, you know, please message before you go there, but they do need help. And follow your heart and be a good treaty partner, because we're all treaty people.
Perfect. Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weeknights for an in-depth look at politics and current events on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clear skies overnight with a low of 62, then sunshine Wednesday, warming back up to 90. Crooner Supper Club is back with the spectacular new Belvedere outdoor stage and seating area. The Belvedere is just one way crooners can safely offer you some of the best music in the Twin Cities. Crooner Supper Club, Moore Lake Drive and Highway 65 in Fridley. Info at croonersmn.com. This is AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, thanks, Wendy. Hey, so that was awesome news update from Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350. But now we got the Crown Prince of Information coming on here. It's Paul Demain, Chairman of the Board of Directors at Honor the Earth. And I want to just say Pini Gigi for stopping in, Paul. I know you're a very busy person with all that's going on. So thank you for stopping in Native Roots Radio.
Well, you know what happens when you're having fun, so I want to thank both you and Wendy for having me today. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful report from Nancy from up at the Firelights camp up there, what's occurred over there in the last few days. And so I'm glad she did it because she was on site and saw what happened and saw the difference in what jurisdictional counties, the differences within them. I think there's 13 counties that this line passes through, and you have different sheriffs operating at different levels, and of course, different levels of compensation from Enbridge and the money that comes through the Joint Jurisdictional Task Force. and all those entities. Certainly different than what we saw out in the Dakotas, where Enbridge had many of its own security firms operating on the ground with dogs and mace and all the other weapons to try to repeal people out there. I think what occurred up in Clearwater County is an example of diplomacy and dedication. And some of the things that have been occurring in the last few days are images that are being seen throughout the world, not only the peaceful stand down up at Firelight, but the use of the Homeland Security to haze some of the people occupying the pump station north of Park Rapids that blew in and did thousands of dollars of damage and threw sand into the valves and equipment and so forth of Enbridge as they tried to haze protesters. It reminds me of in the Pinocchio mine fight in Wisconsin when this company from out of state came in, wanted to build a sulfide mine, and they brought in an Arizona firm called Bulletproof Security who carried AR-15s and pointing them at people who were working on land open to the public. And I think that's the essence of this battle in many ways,
right,
that the issue is public lands. I mean, if you're a farmer and want a pipeline through it, I guess, okay, that's their choice. But the issue in northern Minnesota certainly has to do with the fact that under the Treaty of 1855, one of a sequence of treaties with the Ojibwe people starting in 1825, going through probably 1886-87 with some of the western Ojibwe bands. In those sequence of those treaties, there was reservation of rights to exercise their rights, and that's not in dispute anymore, even though it has been. It's been litigated, and the rights for tribes to have jurisdiction over their citizens is not an issue that needs to be litigated. But
right,
certainly the 1855 Treaty Authority, the Red Lake, the Leech Lake, the White Earth, the Gull Lake, the Sandy Lake, the Mille Lacs, are taking a stand that says to the world that a foreign company cannot come into territory upon which they've reserved resource gathering rights. They have their usufructuary rights that were maintained through this process. And both parties to the treaty have obligations to that treaty on both sides. And so the state of Wisconsin, or state of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, the U.S. government, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, within that treaty and contract, have a responsibility to uphold their duty to protect those resources so that they're useful, so that they're clean, that they're even there, that they're not endangered by the drought that's going on, which has reduced water levels in the rivers there to the point where clams are attempting to survive by climbing out of their clam beds and going for the main river, but they're not going to make it over a 10-foot-wide sandbar. You have some fish kills going on, which is probably the result of the low water levels and the concentration of agricultural potato corporate farming that's occurring up on the plateaus in some of those counties, and much of that's been blowing off in windstorms and running off and getting into the rivers, and now that there's less water, the pollutants are more concentrated, and they're beginning to kill off. And some of the smaller fish, I've seen some of that myself, not to great any extent, but I do know that people who know wildlife resources are deeply concerned about the status of the aquifers and the water flows and the Crow on the Strait, on the Shell, and some of the other rivers that Enbridge has to cross.
Yeah.
And surprise, talk about the deficiencies of this company on a regular basis. Deficiencies in regards to spills, deficiency in terms of reporting spills, deficiencies in the engineering, deficiencies in the response time, deficiency in responding to the need to consult in a meaningful way with tribal governments. You're not just going to hold a coffee in downtown Park Rapids or Bemidji or somewhere and gather up some Indians and say you have permission. There has to be meaningful consultation, and a lot of that was missed because under the Trump administration, they decided that the Army Corps of Engineers did not have to uphold its responsibilities, and under the law and statutes to conduct an independent environmental impact statement. The Trump administration said, no, we'll just accept what Minnesota has done. Hmm. And so there were people who were waiting for that opportunity that were cut out of the table. And so we find deficiencies not only in, let's take a look at the water issue. Nancy mentioned a number of $5 million. She was off on the amount that was originally in the permit. It was 520 million gallons. Mm-hmm. Recently found out that Enbridge has decided that, whoops, something didn't happen here. It's got to be 4.8 billion gallons that we need to pump out of the aquifers along the route in order to cleanse our equipment and do whatever else they do. Right. It's hard for me as just an individual citizen to understand how the engineers could have missed that on the Enbridge side. It's hard for me to understand how the Minnesota Department of Environmental Protection or Environmental Degradation, whatever you want to call it, allowed those numbers to get through, and that now in the middle of a drought, you got a foreign corporation that says our interests are greater than the Ojibwe people who have a treaty and contract to use those water resources and to be able to drink clean water. Our jobs, in our Enbridge candy that we shower on politicians, shower on business people, hire Indians. You know, a couple weeks ago it was 280, and then it's 320, it's 560. Next week it'll probably be the whole Enbridge crew is Native American, you know, kind of a thing. So statistically, they're probably doing what they needed to do years ago in terms of sharing the wealth. Enbridge made $10 billion in profits. They can add $1 billion to the project whenever they blink and need a little bit more money. They showered $1 million on law enforcement prior to the treaty gathering up in northern Minnesota a weekend ago. And yep. I'm sure that all the people that are collecting from them are, you know, happy for the overtime. But I'm certainly impressed by the Clearwater Sheriff who said that, you know, in the statute that establishes law enforcement in many, many counties and state statutes, it says they are to be peacemakers. Nothing says that when a foreign corporation sends you a letter and says, get on these people and get us off the property. Does that trump the rights of the local sheriff to keep the peace and make sure that things are done peacefully? And we saw a great example of an easement that was negotiated with elders and the women up there holding space, mm-hmm. in which the stand down was peaceful all the way from the beginning until the citations for those people who didn't want to leave and get a citation, including some who are allowed to go without handcuffs and get their citation. Right. And so there are methods of working with the community to keep the peace. And certainly the money that's flowed in, I think, has distorted the whole situation up there in a way that's very negative for U.S. citizens and citizens of Minnesota and their guests.
Yeah, I'm here with
Paul. Ask me a question.
I'm here with Paul Demain, chairman of the board of directors at Honor the Earth. We only got a couple minutes, Paul, and one of the questions I wanted to say that my emotions were on a roller coaster. KXL gave up, and then we had the ruling Monday. Your thoughts?
Well, disappointed in the ruling, but not unexpected. You know, again, $1 billion worth of attorneys certainly does their job. When put up against environmental organizations that are in some cases exhausted by environmental cases and battles and everything. So I wasn't surprised because the process used, you know, someone asked for a permit in Minnesota and other places, it's assumed that they're going to get it. It's just a question of to what limits they can pump water, or to what level they can put pesticides into the environment, to what level they can destroy forest, to what level they can degrade the environment. It's not like the permit is to do all that up to a certain level, and hopefully accumulatively across the board, you don't start killing things off left and right. That's unfortunately the situation. We had one ruling against us. We have some other court appeals that are coming up. I don't know if that situation will be appealed, only because 9 months from now is probably when a decision would be made, and the way Enbridge is rushing this project in to try to get in front of the legal cases, you know, it might be too late to do anything effectively, but there are issues having to do with water. There are issues having to do with the archaeological work that's being looked at by people who are saying that previous reports and projects in the same corridors that are being used by Enbridge, significant archaeological finds, the Shell River, the Crow River, that whole region has had 10,000 years of existence. And to review the documents that I have to date, and I may not be seeing them, all of them, mm-hmm. other people are looking at them and coming to the same judgment that the archaeological reports and surveys yes. about what they may go through in terms of mounds and burial grounds and historic archaeological remains. Itasca Park is a significant area. The Shell, 10,000 years of continuous existence along there from the Ojibwe. Why do you see Dakota supporting this? Because they have mounds and burial grounds in occupied Minnesota for yeah. many years and share that history, including well, other indigenous communities. So,
Paul, thank you
so
much.
Lots going on.
Thank you so, so much for stopping in with all this great information.
Thanks, Robert.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
That was my best howl in a long time.
We have howls and we have meows.
Hey, the pressure's on. So far, a great show, Wendy.
Great show, great show.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she works tirelessly. That's always hard for me to say.
That's a hard
tirelessly on animal issues, and she is a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States and works on animal issues local and at the state level. Tell us your name and tell us what you want to talk about.
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, who was also Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walk on white clouds.
Yes.
I know, right? I finally got it.
No.
I think Curtis would have let me know if I was saying it wrong, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So I have this article here. It's from WCVB 5ABC, and it's from Anchorage, Alaska. And the title of it is It was worth the risk. Good Samaritan helps baby moose over a guardrail during a traffic jam. This was just from a couple of days ago from Jocelyn Brumbog, who wrote the article. Anchorage, Alaska. There's a video also. I'll put this up on the Facebook page. I put another petition I'd like people to sign if they feel like they want to. Go on to our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio, and you could sign the petition that I put up. It's for roadside zoos.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I'll talk about that another day. But I wanted to talk about this little moose.
Mickey Mouse?
The video is from KTUU via CNN. Pictures captured the moment Joe Tate helped and resolved an interesting traffic jam. Hmm. Tate was on his way back from a fishing trip in Alaska last week when he saw a line of cars and a baby moose struggling to cross a guardrail. It was trying to get over the guardrail, Tate told KTUU. It was tired, and it was very, very young, maybe a week or a week and a half old. Hmm. After watching for about 30 minutes, Tate watched other drivers get impatient and drive around the animal. That's when he took action. Hmm. Friends were able to use a trailer to block the mother moose from seeing her baby while Tate approached and helped it along. Tate credits his time in Alaska, more than 15 years, a military career, and being a registered hunting guide for giving him the ability to handle the situation. Nowhere near expertise, but I had some knowledge of what to do and what not to do and handled it the best way I could have done, Tate said. Alaska fish and game biologist Dave Battle told KTUU that handling wildlife can be dangerous. In most cases, people should call a conservation officer first. But Tate said in this situation, the wait for a wildlife officer to respond may have been too long. I mean, in the time you could have took, something else could have happened, Tate said. Although it's illegal to handle or possess wildlife without a permit in Alaska, wildlife troopers don't plan to cite Tate for what he did. So he could have even gotten a citation for doing that because it is illegal to handle or possess wildlife without a permit in Alaska. However, Battle said he hopes it doesn't influence others to do the same thing. It worked out this time, but we always encourage people to call the professionals, Battle said. Hmm. It worked out for the best, Tate said, and it could have gone bad, and I understand and I know that, but it did go the best way it was, and it was worth the risk. So my question is, should we or should we not help wildlife?
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel the same way, and I think we've talked about this before, but I mean, you're in a traffic jam. You're standing there for a half an hour. You're watching this poor baby moose try to jump over the guardrail. Its mom's on the other side, and, you know, I mean, it is a dangerous situation, and I don't think I've ever seen a real live moose in person, but I've seen them on videos, and they're gigantic,
mm-hmm.
and they could really...
And elegant and all those
Yeah, but
words.
They could really hurt you, especially a mother, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Moose, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I have this article here I just want to bring in. And it is from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And it talks about sick and injured wildlife, although that wasn't sick or injured, but it kind of was because it was, you know, stuck at the guardrail. And what you should do, whether you should help them or not, you know, and what they really say is that you should really assess this situation. But in most cases, of course, they tell you don't do anything.
Right.
You know, I could not.
Right.
You know, if that was you and me in the car waiting and watching this moose, I think,
I would have got one.
I might not have had the best judgment and I might have put myself at risk or not knowing the danger because I wouldn't have known what kind of danger I could have gotten in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would have risked some myself and I would have tried to help the baby moose. I mean,
it was a baby moose. It wasn't like a full grown bison and you were taking a picture of it and trying to get close to it and get whipped around and get your jeans ripped off. You have a good heart, and they can sense that.
I know.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. So
there
the Department of Natural Resources say who Who to contact, right, if you have a sick or an injured wild animal. So give them a call if you have – and they say here, too, contact local rehabilitation clinics or rehab professionals or let nature
take its course.
Yeah. Note, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources does not have the staff or resources to respond to every injured or distressed wildlife report. Yeah. I mean, I would understand that, too. But a lot of times we called our local wildlife rehabilitation center and said, hey, we have a, you know, we have a squirrel. What do we do? And they give you good advice what to do in the meantime, before you could bring it in.
Right.
Right? So that's what you really should do. I really think that in Alaska, to help a wild animal is against the law, and that they were going to citate, you know, give him a citation for helping this baby moose, but then they decided not to. So I guess it is a case-to-case situation.
Well, it worked out well, but that's funky as heck.
Exactly. Well, it says here, right here in the thing, examine the environment carefully. It is possible and safe for anyone to attempt to rescue an animal. Sometimes, despite the best efforts and intention, an injured animal is just not accessible, and unfortunately, nothing can be done for them. So they go over and over just saying, let nature take its course. Sick or wild animals may bite and scratch and pose a risk to humans, physical injury, and or exposed to disease. Use caution and never put yourself in a situation that you are uncomfortable with.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've helped a turtle cross the road. I brought squirrels into the rehabilitation center. What else? We've helped animals over the years. I think that we would do our best thing, you know, whatever we felt.
We'd have to check it out because, you know, they might have strong legs and want to kick you.
Right.
You know, all these things.
Exactly. You could really, really get hurt.
Right. Yeah. So really observe it. And.
But I give that guy Tate, kudos for really, you know, going for it. And he did have experience. So he had experience and he did what he had to do, and what's that saying? All ends that end
all well. That ends well.
There you go.
I
all right.
That's sacred.
Put some water out for the wildlife. It's very, very dry out there. Put a pan of water.
Absolutely, and it's going to get warmer all day. Shout out to all the emails we get about the sacred animal section. We're still a little behind in responding, but we definitely want to respond. Our cat's, like, really hungry. We do feed our cat. We just wanted to let you know that. But I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to mask up. And then we also need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Shout out to Nancy Bolio. And a big shout out to Paul Demain. Great show today. Pinigigi Wendy for all you do. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop line three.
Get vaccinated.